This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And although it's a little bit cold here, we're not going to complain because we know everybody up north, you're all freezing up there. But it is a perfect day for a cozy mystery, and so I have the perfect one for you today, and I am so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper, Valerie Burns, VM Burns today, because she's got she has to wear different hats for all the different things she does, but VM Burns has written it's book number 8 in her wonderful mystery bookshop series, and it is called Book Club to Death. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Patsy. Oh, great to be here.
Oh, wow. I'm glad. Where are you? You're freezing?
Well, I am in North Georgia, right next to Chattanooga. So for us, it's cold, about 36 right now. So that's cold for us. But again, I'm not complaining because my family in Indiana and Michigan have it a lot colder.
Oh, they do. I know. My brother had 6 feet in, like, I think 12 hours or something. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, we're not going to complain. But we do love Michigan. And your book is, the series, of course, is set in Michigan. And I always know, and I love the title, by the way, Booked Club to Death. And the cover is gorgeous. It has, of course, poodles on it, your two beautiful poodles, and a wonderful, wonderful Kensington cover. So one of the things that I always know when I get one of your books, the minute I I see that Nana Jo calls, she'll says in this book, and it's right on the first page, Samantha Marie Washington. And when you hear Nana Jo say Samantha Marie Washington, you know you're in good, you're going to have a great read.
Yeah, I love Nana Jo, and I think it's bringing back memories because I don't think as a child I heard my middle name unless I was in trouble. So
I think that's for all of us. When there's a certain tone when they use the middle name, you know, you've got to perk up and pay attention.
Exactly, exactly. So I had to include that with Samantha, too.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Of course, Nana Jo is just such a wonderful character. Naturally, this book would appeal to me immediately because it is set in a bookstore. And, of course, ever since I read Carolyn Hart and her wonderful series, she was one of my first guests. She was, I think, number 3, my third guest on the program. And back almost 8 years ago when I started, and Carolyn was... is just such a wonderful, wonderful author. And her Death on Demand series, of course, is based on a bookstore in a fictional town. And so you've created also a bookstore in a fictional town. So tell us about this bookstore.
So Samantha Washington and her husband had normal jobs. She used to be an English teacher, a high school English teacher. And she and her husband loved reading cozy mysteries, and they always dreamed that one day they would quit their jobs, they would buy a bookstore, and they would open a specialty bookstore, a mystery bookstore, where, the only thing they sell are mysteries. And when Samantha's husband, Leon, dies, she realizes life is too short not to live your dreams, and waiting for your ship to come in, or for one day when you hit the lottery or the planets are all perfectly aligned to do it. So she takes the insurance money and she sells her house and she quits her job, and she buys a building, and she opens a bookstore, Market Street Mysteries. And so that's how she got to be a bookstore owner. And she also dreamed about writing British historic cozy mysteries. So every book in this series includes two mysteries to solve. You have the mystery that Sam is living through, and then you also have the British historic mystery that Sam is writing.
That's what makes these books so much fun. This dual, very much like Tasha Alexander does dual, you know, storylines in her book. She has Lady Emily, and then she always does another character based on the location where Lady Emily is visiting. So I think this is so much fun. And you come out with clever ideas for both mysteries. And, you know, it's enough to come out with a good idea for one mystery, but you have to come out with two.
I do. It seemed like a good idea at the time when I first started. When I thought about it, I thought, oh, this would be fun to read because I love reading mysteries. So a lot of times I just look at things from, wait, I think I'd like to read a book like that. I didn't necessarily realize the challenges I would face with actually writing that book. So that's been, something I've had to learn how to do and how to get over. And honestly, there's usually some type of a tie-in between the book that she's writing and what she's going through. So it helps her solve the mystery. And it helps me solve the mysteries.
Well, for both mysteries, you have really interesting premises, I will tell you that.
Thank you.
So, you know, for the historical one, now when you're writing them, I mean, do you sort of physically feel a change in your body language or when you're writing the English, the British story?
You know, I don't think so, but, you know, I do feel like my tea intake increases when I'm writing the British historic cozy mystery.
And I reach for a cup of tea when I get to that. So it works out very nicely. So what do you want to tell us about the mystery in this, well, the two mysteries? What do you want to tell us without, you know, we're not going to give away anything, but Let's hear about the storylines.
Okay, so in the contemporary mystery that Samantha Washington is living through, she is dealing with a storm that hit North Harbor, Michigan, the fictitious town of North Harbor, and it causes damage to the local library. And Sam wants to help, and she finds out that she can help by hosting one of the book clubs. So she agrees to do that. Seems like a very simple thing to do. And the leader of the book club, the Mystery Mavens book club, is a woman named Delia Marshall. And Delia is very demanding. She is just a very difficult person to get along with.
And a fun
character. She rules that book club with an iron fist.
And a fun character to write, I think.
I think so, too. I think that the more, you know, over the top a character can be, the more fun it is to write them, and then probably for me to kill them.
So, yeah, that's nice.
So Sam, and she hosts the Mystery Mavens book club, and she gets into a big dispute with Delia, and she caves into a lot of her demands because Delia is also a book reviewer. And so the book that Samantha first started writing in the very first book in the series is about to be published, and she really doesn't want to get on Delia's bad side. So she gives in to a lot of her demands, but when things just go over the top, and she can no longer get along with Delia. There's a big blow-up, and then Delia is found dead in the bookshop. So Sam is a prime, she's the prime suspect.
And the method of the method that you came out with, I thought was very clever. I enjoy, you know, you always look for fun ways to kill people, and this was such a perfect way.
There is a big clue on the cover of the book, I guess, that kind of gave it away. My editor was like, you know, I think we're going to put that on the cover. So.
Yeah, I thought it was great, a great idea. I mean, if you're going to go, if you're, you know, the head of a mystery book club, that's the way to go.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, too. And that's a hefty book right there. So she did a lot of mysteries. So.
Well, it's nice to play homage to Agatha Christie because, of course, all of the mystery writers are have to be grateful to what she did and pave the way for everybody.
You know, I am a huge Agatha Christie fan. She was one of the first. That's kind of the book that got me started with my love of mysteries was reading her books, and when you look into everything that she's written, not only as Agatha Christie, but also Mary Westmacott, where she wrote books also, and then she also had plays, short stories, so huge, huge, prolific writer.
Well, she was fantastic, and she was also the one responsible for me not only falling in love with mysteries, and I was quite young, and I remember that in a way she saved my life because a bunch of friends wanted me to go to this protest, and it was, you know, the time when people were protesting everything. Well, they're still protesting, but in those days they were protesting, and everybody wanted me to join in, and I didn't want to protest anything anyway, but I was reading an Agatha Christie, and I was reading one of the Tommy and Tuppence mysteries.
Oh, I love those.
Don't you love them? I think they're so great. And I just looked, I remember looking at them and said, I'm reading. I'm not going anywhere. And they actually went to that protest and was in Berkeley. It was a big sort of riot. It turned into a kind of riot kind of thing.
Oh my goodness.
And people were, you know, knocked on the head. But there I'm very happily reading Tommy and Tuppence and eating a digestive biscuit with tea.
Well, I think Agatha Christie probably saved a lot of people's lives, but that is a wonderful story.
Well, and of course, I was so happy when I finally, you know, I moved to England and I lived in England a long time. And it was always so much fun to just go around and look at the locations, of course, where some of her books were set. And it's she was just such a fabulous woman. And with all of this prolific writing that she's given us, and it's so hard to believe that, you know, she was born in 1890.
It is amazing. And, you know, when I went to England the first time, I got an opportunity to see Mousetrap, one of her plays that she had written. And it was the longest running play ever. It finally, the only thing that stopped it was COVID.
Yeah.
When the theaters had to shut down for COVID, that's when it stopped running. I mean, it just remarkable that after all of this time and all of these years, I think she died in 1976 or 77, and her books are still relevant today, and they're still interesting.
And they're so fresh. When you read them, the writing is so fresh, and it's just wonderful. And I, of course, I saw when I was living in England, whenever somebody would come over from America, you know, to visit me, I would take them to the Mousetrap. So I must have seen it about 10 times. And I never got tired of it. And I always loved the reaction of people, you know, when we would go to the theater, of course, theater in England is something special, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
In those days. I think nowadays they've sort of Hollywoodized it, you know, and it's not quite as much fun. I think last time Lee Child was on the program for his birthday interview, he mentioned that, you know, it's not... It was so intimate in those days when we were there, and so affordable.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
I don't think it's affordable anymore. But you know what? It's well worth the money, especially when you get to see a musical or a play that really engages you.
And, of course, you always have British actors who are always tremendous. It doesn't matter what they're in. So your love for England, you know, the fact that you love to write these mysteries set in England, where did that come from? From Agatha Christie?
You know,
from where else?
Probably. You know, I trace back my love of cozy mysteries to reading The Murder of Roger Ackroyd. I remember reading that book. I must have been maybe 12, and I stumbled across it at the library, and I just remember reading that and thinking, holy cow, I didn't see that coming. This is awesome. And so then I got another one of her books, and then there were none. And I remember, you know, I remember very clearly starting that book, and, you know, you've got 10 people on an island, and they start to die. And I remember thinking, well, whoever's left at the end is obviously the murderer. And she kills them all. And I thought, are you kidding me? How do you do this? How do you have a mystery where you kill them all? And just brilliant. I mean, I was just totally suckered in at that point. And so I decided I got to read everything. So I started just looking for everything that she had and everything I could read. And when you read British mysteries, you find so many things that we just don't have or just don't do in the United States. You know, stones, for instance. Those were something that I thought, okay, I'd like to try this. And then maybe you find one in the U.S. and it's this dried up thing that tastes nothing like a real stone. And I had no idea what clotted cream was and didn't even know how to say treacle tarts, you know, what that was. So it really opened up a lot of experiences for me. And so I think that's just, I wanted to incorporate that into my writing. And so, you know, in the Mystery Bookshop series, Sam dreams of having a mystery bookshop and writing British historic cozies because that's my dream. I want to one day own a bookstore that sells mysteries and also writing British historic cozy mysteries.
Well, you're on your way, I can tell you, because your British cozy mystery is also, I love the premise. I always like, you know, British cozy mysteries. I love them. But when I got the premise of this one, I thought, oh, this is so cute. I would never have thought of it. It just shows how brilliant you are.
Aw, thank you. I think that, you know, I tend to watch a lot of British historic cozies on television, and I read them. And I think, you know, I also enjoy reading documentaries about the royal family. So in this book, the...
Who's saying hello to us there? Who's that?
Oh, that's Chloe. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. We love dogs here. We love dogs. We love Chloe.
Yeah. She's a poodle, of course. So she's trained me over the past 2 years in the pandemic that once she hears me talking, she knows if she starts barking, I give her a treat to shut her up. Of course, now she's gotten a little chunky, and we've been trying to wean her off of the treat, but she's still manipulating me. That's the problem with poodles. They're very smart dogs.
Well, we don't mind. We love hearing a barking dog. So back to the premise for this cozy. It is cute. So you're watching all of these, all the documentaries about the British royalty, and then you get a very clever idea that I don't think anybody else has ever come out with.
Well, I'm sure someone somewhere probably has, but thank you so much. I appreciate that. But, you know, the Marsh family is preparing for a christening, and they want to invite their cousin, who happens to be the king. But, you know, the war with Germany, everything just starting to heat up, and it's not a really good time for travel. So he offers that allow them to have the christening at Windsor Castle. So they all pack up and they go to Windsor Castle, but he also has an ulterior motive, because a reporter who has been following the royal family has died, and it can be very embarrassing, and there are some clues that are leading to maybe a member of the royal family might have had something to do with it. And he knows that Lady Elizabeth has solved many mysteries in the past, and so he's hoping she can help figure out what happened here.
I thought it was so clever. It really reads so beautifully. I get a kick out of something like this so much, because I see both what you've done here. You're such a fine writer. I was looking through your books. Of course, I've, admired your writing for a long time, but I also was looking at your blog, and I want to talk to you about one of the stories you write there about the joy of writing. So I have to do some commercials, but you have to hold on, okay? And
okay.
We're going to play, but I'm also going to play a book buzz. One of the things at the end of the year, and we're thinking about people, and we want to remember things, and I'm looking back at the 7 years that I have been, doing this program, and one of the guests that I had on the program very early on was Sue Grafton. And had a lot in common. We were both in Hollywood at the same time. We both worked in laboratories, so we were sort of a lab nerd, so we could talk lab talk. It was always so much fun to have her. And Rita Moreau, who is also a cozy mystery writer, did a beautiful book buzz for what turned out to be Sue's last book. We had been planning, as a matter of fact, I had already talked to her about how she was going to be on, and we would have a big celebration when she got to book Z. And, of course, she passed away. But the important thing is, great books are great books, and I want people to remember her. I want people to remember her books. And so I want to play this book buzz that Rita Moreau did for her. We'll do commercials, and please, please, Valerie, hold on, and we'll talk about the joy of writing when we come back, okay?
Okay.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on Book Buzz. If you are like me as a fan of Sue Grafton, you are wishing there were more letters in the alphabet. Having followed Kinsey Millhone from the beginning with A is for Alibi, you've got to ask yourself, will Kinsey find closure or love? Sue Grafton first introduced Kinsey in the Alphabet series all the way back in 1982, and since then, both writer and heroine have become icons and international bestsellers. Sue Grafton is back with her 25th book in her Alphabet series, Y is for Yesterday, and it's due out on August 22nd. Here's the buzz. This will be the darkest and most disturbing case Kinsey will tackle. A vicious sociopath with a grudge against Kinsey, in this book, you have to ask yourself, will Kinsey discover what Y stands for? Chilling. Y is for Yesterday. Get it online This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, click on Book Buzz with Rita Moreau. Buzzing off for now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back. And my guest today is Valerie Burns, or VM Burns, as she is known with her series called and Mystery Bookshop Mysteries. And the name of the book we're talking about today is Book Clubbed to Death. Hi, Valerie.
Hello, Patsy.
Okay. Well, as I said, the Mystery Bookshop series is just fantastic. I love it. But of course, that is not your only series. And I was so thrilled, you know, when you recently you came out with more. You are a busy, busy woman.
I am. I enjoy writing. And, you know, I also have a day job. And my coworkers have learned that if they make me mad, I kill them in my book. And so I think I have a whole lot more people. My list is real long. I think some of them are doing it on purpose to see how many times I can kill them. But I that's how I deal with my stress, is I kill people in my books.
Oh, that's fun. I'm sure they want to be part of it, the fun. Because your other series, which I love this series. It's called A Delicious and Charming Cozy Mystery, Baker Street Mystery Books. And the last one, I think, was Two-Part Sugar, One-Part Murder?
Two-Part Sugar, One-Part Murder.
And
yep, that was
lovely,
the first book in the series.
It's a beautiful cover. I love, of course, Kensington always does these wonderful covers. But with that one, you have, again, you have a dog. You are.
Love dogs.
Yeah, we know that. So that's a wonderful series, and the second one in the series is coming out in the spring,
June.
In June. Okay, so that gives us something else to look forward to, but right now I want to tell people that Book Clubbed to Death came out today. And it's a wonderful book. And, you know, when you're reading a cozy mystery, it really does make you feel cozy. I think you sort of tuck yourself into your favorite chair in bed and with a, now definitely with a cup of hot chocolate or tea. It is a wonderful read. And the book is, I want to tell you again, and for my listeners, it is so much fun to have this dual storyline that you have, the contemporary story and the Victorian story. It's delightful, and Valerie, you do a great job with both of them. And I wanted to mention, I noticed that you dedicated this book to somebody special.
Okay.
Yeah, to Colonel Sandy, you know, to somebody in the military.
Oh, you know what? So I had a, I did a event in Wetumpka, Alabama. They have a wonderful community. You might have heard about them a few years ago. The town was ravaged by tornadoes, and a HGTV show actually came and helped them to do some rebuilding, so they've been in the news a little bit. But Wetumpka also has a fundraiser for their library, Friends of Wetumpka Library. And one of the, they have authors, mystery authors come, and they do a event with lunch, and people buy tickets and sit and talk to authors, and then we have some panels. And one of the things that they do is they auction a character. So people who come to the event, they can bid on being a character in your book. And the only, there's no strings. So they can't tell us what we can and cannot do to the character. If they win, we can do whatever we want to that character. And so I participated in that, and the gentleman who bought my character was actually named Don Nobles, and he wanted to buy a character for his brother-in-law, Colonel Sandy
Edge. Yeah.
And so that's, he plays a role in the British Historic Cozy Mystery, and so that was why I dedicated the book to them. And I, what was really interesting, he told me some facts about his brother-in-law, and I actually found a video clip of him online, and I watched it, and I got some more insight into his character and personality. And I hope that when they read it, that they enjoy it, and that his Colonel Edge is okay with what I did to his character.
Well, I thought it was a delightful idea. It is a wonderful way to raise money for a library or for any group. And it's just, I thought it was very nice. And I love that you did put it as a dedication also, because this is, it's wonderful when people participate in things like this.
It is. And it's always a wonderful event for such a small town. They really do a fantastic job. And I think it's called Murder on the Menu. And so if you ever get an opportunity to go to Wetumpka, check it out, and definitely check out the library. It is really a wonderful event.
Well, you know, when I was looking at your website, and I wanted to talk to you about this article that you wrote about the joy of writing, I thought it was so beautifully written and so heartfelt. You're, as I said, you're a terrific writer. But tell us about this article, The Joy of Writing.
Okay.
In general, your joy, where, how it makes you feel to know, one, that you're bringing a lot of happiness to people with your stories, because for so many readers, and I want to really, at the end of the year here, talk about the readers a little bit. Readers, we love you. We love when you read books. We love when you write reviews on Amazon. And we love when you participate in events and go to, now that people can start going again to events, I know that a lot of authors are just overwhelmed and so happy when they do something like VoucherCon, for example, and the fans are there, the readers are there. It makes you feel good, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. You know, writing is very solitary. You sit at home, you know, in front of your computer, and you know, it's just you and the words on the page, and, you know, it's not necessarily a team effort. So it's only when you go to events and you get an opportunity to talk to readers, or you get an email. Usually people will email you when they find a misspelled word on a page, or, you know, something didn't come out right, or they didn't like something. So it's, you know, wonderful when you as an author can get that feedback and you find that people actually enjoy your books and they enjoy, you know, the story. So that can be very, very helpful for an author, especially for me. And so, you know, it's hard, especially because sometimes you read negative reviews about your books, and it can really, you know, drag you down, and you try to have a tough shell and, you know, not take it personally, because books are subjective. You know, what one person likes, someone else may not necessarily like, and it doesn't necessarily, you know, resonate with them, but it is, you know, it can be challenging when you read an article that, you know, really, I don't know, rips apart your book or something you've done.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about that. I'm sure you don't get very many, and you shouldn't. But even the most famous authors, and a global best-selling author who was on my program not too long ago, noted to me privately off the air that he had so many negative reviews, and unfortunately, Amazon put all the negative reviews at the front. Which is really, I think, a terrible thing to do, because, you know, he got lots of 5-star reviews, but somehow those 1-stars come up. But it's not something you have to worry about, because you have a terrific fan base. You are such a wonderful. There's something I find in your books, and I read a lot of cozy mysteries. I read a lot of mysteries, but from the day I started reading your books, I found that I liked you. I just, well, maybe it's Samantha, or I don't know, but I just liked you. And I thought, wow, this is so cool that I'm reading a book where I like the author, and I felt there's a kindness. And it's funny that you wrote this article. I don't know if you were thinking about me, but you did write this article, and you call it The Joy of Writing. And I thought, yeah, she's got that joy in her. Your writing is, it's, not only do you paint a picture, which is what, you know, an author has to do, particularly in a cozy mystery, when you have different settings, you really have to paint a picture to bring the, you know, the reader into that area so that they feel like they're part of the book. But there's also, I don't know, there's a kindness that runs through your characters. You have so many who are just good people, and I felt always when I started your books, I felt, you know, I would just, you know, love to know Nana Jo. It's just, she's just somebody I relate to, and I love her, and I think that this comes through and shines through in all of your books, that you have these warm and loving characters, because I think you are probably a very loving and kind person yourself.
Well, thank you so much. That is very, very kind. I appreciate it. You know, I think that what you are picking up on is my joy of mysteries and my love of cozy mysteries. And, you know, I try to write the books that I would want to read as a cozy mystery lover. So I tend to write people that I want to read about. You know, I love Nana Jo's funkiness and her feistiness, and I also love how Samantha is, you know, willing to step out and do something different and follow her dreams. And I wish one day I had that courage to just, you know, drop everything and open that mystery bookshop. Maybe one day. But, you know, I think that that is, I've noticed over the books, and in that joy of writing, I mentioned that I'm currently working on book 20. And I think it's the joy of writing. I enjoy it. I love mysteries. I love creating characters and scenes and just, you know, being a part of that world.
And, of course, with this now being on book 20, you are have to have some heck of a discipline in your life with working full-time and writing all these books.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, so writing is something that is important to me. I enjoy doing it most of the time. And I think when something's important, you make time for it. You have to make time for the things that are important, the things that fill your bucket. And so writing does that for me. And so I try to write every day. My goal is if I could write 1,000 words a day, then that's a good day. Some days I don't get 1,000, but if I can, you know, if you think about it, if you wrote 1,000 words a day, that's 365,000 words a year. It's a lot of words.
That's it.
So that's the discipline that it takes, is just to sit down and to, you know, put your fingers on the keyboard and actually get the story told and get it written. And so I feel like it's important to know yourself, to know what works for you, and to do that. So I know that I've learned over the years that if I take a break, if I take a month off, it's really hard for me to get back into the rhythm of writing again. And so if I write every day, then I you know, it's sort of like, you know, eating an elephant. You take a one bite at a time. If I just write every day, then I get in that habit. Sort of like people who exercise. I wish that was me. But, you know, if you exercise every day, then you miss it when you're not doing it. And so writing becomes that same thing. When you write every day, if there's a day where you're not writing, then you miss it.
And also, you also have to, one important thing for a writer is a writer also has to be a reader. So
yes.
What are you doing, you know, do you read contemporary books or do you go back and look at classics? What kind of reading do you do?
Oh, I love mysteries, and my to-be-read pile is huge. So I try not to read new books when I'm writing because I don't want anything to influence me. So when I'm working on a book, then I will typically go back and read what I call my old friends. So I, right now, because I'm working on a book, when I read, I go back and I'm reading Agatha Christie's Miss Marple short stories. I told you, I'm a huge fan. I also like, you know, Rex Stout. So these are books that are old friends that I've read multiple times, and I don't have to, you know, be concerned that there's anything that's going to impact my stories. And then when I do take a break, then I read for pleasure, and I will read both historic and contemporary. If it's got a mystery in it, I'm sucked in immediately, but I love cozies.
What?
So I try to read as many cozies as I can. I've made a lot of friends who write cozies, and I want to read their books. I want to be supportive. Sometimes, you know, a friend will ask if I will write a cover blurb for their book. So when I'm in between books, I'll read for pleasure, and I get to really just indulge into a totally different world, and I just love that.
Well, I at Christmas time, I always go back and read Dickens' Christmas Carol, because there is nothing like reading it. It is so much better than any movie, even. So I always do that. And during the Christmas week, I was reading Tasha Alexander's novellas. She's written 5 novellas about Christmas, all set, you know, in Victorian England with Lady Emily. And those are fun. It's funny, you know, I get a lot of books, but there are those ones that you go back to and you just love it. I'm so happy you mentioned Rex Stout, because, wow, what an influence he is on writing.
Yeah, I mean, I love his Nero Wolfe series, and I also, Tasha Alexander, she's great. And, you know, so just when you finish a book and you just want more, and you just want to go back and visit those, you know, friends again. And so that's what is so wonderful. Like Sue Grafton, I mean, you know, going through that, how many times can you read through the alphabet and you can, you know, learn something new every time?
Exactly. Oh, she was so sweet. I so enjoyed talking to her. But, you know, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. It's a release date, which is always an exciting thing for an author, right?
Yes, it is. It's very exciting and scary at the same time.
Okay. So I want to, again, the name of the book is Book Clubbed to Death, and it's by V.M. Burns, and it's available. You can get it today. It's online, and I'm sure also in Barnes & Noble, because Barnes & Noble loves to carry Kensington books, and I think mostly because the covers are so great. And the cover on this one, I love it, with the poodles, and, of course, the weapon of choice for a really great cover. And it is truly the weapon. And by the way, you've been nominated for something. I forgot to mention that.
Yes. You know, 2022 was a fantastic, amazing year. I got nominated for a Edgar Award for a short story that I wrote. And it's like amazing, because it's the only short story I've ever had published, and it got nominated for an Edgar Award, and I'm just still floored. And also I got nominated for an Anthony for that same short story. So this was a really good year. There are so many amazing, amazing books and short stories that are published every year. And out of all the thousands of thousands to find that my story resonated with people was just remarkable. I was just so honored.
And can people see that story?
It is actually in an anthology, Midnight Hour. It's by Crooked Lane published it. And 20... writers of color all submitted books, and every story happens at midnight. So there's something that happens at midnight.
Okay, and the name of the short story is, just to remind people?
The Vermeer Conspiracy.
And that's a great title. So The Vermeer Conspiracy, and I will put that also on my website so people can check that out too, because I'm sure all of the stories are great. But everybody get Book Club to Death. It's a cozy mystery. Get all snuggly and warm and enjoy V.M. Burns. And your website is V.M. Burns, so that's real easy.
Yep, vmburns.com.
Okay, again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today, Valerie. Thank you.
Thank you, Patsy.
Okay, and a Happy New Year. Boy, oh boy.
Happy New Year to you.
Okay, bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Oh, wow, she's so great. I love her. When you get a book where you just sort of sink into it, I feel like when I'm reading her books, I'm in the books, I'm in the zone, and it's just so wonderful. And she is delightful, and so happy that she was able to spend the entire hour with me, because it's I had another guest planned actually for today, but I enjoyed talking to Valerie because I love her books, and to get nominated, wow, for Edgar Award and Anthony Award, well, it means she's a great writer, Mystery Writer of America member, and definitely a wonderful, wonderful writer. And, oh boy, oh boy, it is near the end of the year. I was happy that I got to mention Sue Grafton. Please get her books. You know, I don't want her to be forgotten. And I don't know, finally, I think, you know, she never wanted to have her books made into a movies or a television series, but I think they probably will be now. And I just suggest you read the books before they do that, because the books are fantastic. And I also want to, oh my goodness, I forgot to say, Lee Child has done a series for BBC Maestro, which is a series of lectures on writing. And of course, Lee Child knows something about writing, I guess. You know, he's only the global best-selling author of, what, 250 million books? I don't know, something like that. And it is on special for this week, I think only. For $54, you can get his master course on BBC Maestro. All you have to do is type in BBC Maestro series. It's a program, and you can get it for $54. So it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for you to learn from the real maestro. Wow. Can you imagine that? Learning from Lee Child. So I hope that you will do that. And again, I want to thank everybody for the lovely, lovely messages I got over the Christmas season, Hanukkah season. It was wonderful. I really appreciate all of that. And if you have any questions and any ideas of authors that you want me to invite to on Joy on Paper for the upcoming year, because we're going to have an exciting year, just write to me. It's at patsy.radio@gmail.com, patsy.radio@gmail.com, and tell me the authors that you want to see and hear on Joy on Paper. And also, if you have any questions for authors, you can send those to me too, and I will ask them when they are on the program. Wow, oh, it's hard to believe. It's almost the end of the year. Everybody, stay safe out there. Don't go on the roads if you don't have to. Absolutely, stay safe and stay warm. And again, just remember what I always, you know, before I say that, I want to just one more time for Carol J. Perry. I want to thank Carol J. Perry for being so kind to Joy on Paper. And her Christmas book, High Spirits, is out. So make sure you get that too. And everybody, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry. Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything. And he saluted me, and I saluted him, and I should have been a general. And everybody, if you have a chance, send a book to a veterans hospital near you. Veterans need books, and also to a children's hospital near you. Bye-bye. We'll